"I don't think we need bother," he said. "I think they'll soon find out." The high priest of Blind Io was stumbling over his words. There had never been an official coronation service in Ankh-Morpork, as far as he could find out. The old kings had managed quite well with something along the lines of, "We hath got the crown i' faith, and we will kill any horse son who tries to take it away, by the Lord Harry." Apart from anything else, this was rather short. He'd spent a long time drafting something longer and more in keeping with the spirit of the times, and was having some trouble remembering it. He was also being put off by the goat, which was watching him with loyal interest. "Get on with it," Wants hissed from his position behind the throne. "All in good time," the high priest hissed back. "This is a coronation, I'll have you know. You might try to show a little respect." "Of course I'm showing respect. Now get on." There was a shout off to the right. Wants glared into the crowd. "It's that lambkin woman," he said. "What's she up to?" People around her were chattering excitedly now. Fingers pointed all the same way, like a small fallen forest. There were one or two screams, and then the crowd moved like a tide. Wants looked along the wide street of small gods. It wasn't a raven out there, not this time. The dragon flew slowly, only a few feet above the ground, wings sculling gracefully through the air. The flags that crisscrossed the street were caught up and snapped like so much cobweb, piling up on the creature's spine plates and flapping back along the length of its tail. It flew with head and neck fully extended, as if the great body was being towed like a barge. The people on the street yelled and fought one another for the safety of doorways. It paid them no attention. It should have come roaring, but the only sounds were the creaking of wings and the snapping of banners. It should have come roaring, not like this, not slowly and deliberately, giving terror time to mature. It should have come threatening, not promising. It should have come roaring, not flying gently to the accompaniment of the zip and zing of merry bunting. Vimes pulled open the other drawer of his desk and glared at the paperwork, such as there was of it. There wasn't really much in there that he could call his own. A scrap of sugar bag reminded him that he now owed the tea kitty 6 pence. Odd. He wasn't angry yet. He would be later on, of course. By evening he'd be furious, drunk and furious, but not yet. Not yet. It hadn't really sunk in, and he knew he was just going through the motions as a preventative against thinking. Errol stirred sluggishly in his box, raised his head and whined. "What's the matter, boy?" said Vimes, reaching down. "Upset stomach?" The little dragon's skin was moving as though heavy industry was being carried on inside. Nothing in Diseases of the Dragon said anything about this. From the swollen stomach came sounds like a distant and complicated war in an earthquake zone. That surely wasn't right. Sybil Ramkin said you had to pay great attention to a dragon's diet, since even a minor stomach upset would decorate the walls and ceiling with pathetic bits of scaly skin. But in the past few days, well, there had been cold pizzas, and the ash from Nobby's horrible dog ends, and all in all, Errol had eaten more or less what he liked, which was just about everything, to judge by the room, not to mention the contents of the bottom drawer. "We really haven't looked after you very well, have we?" said Vimes. "Treated you like a dog, really." He wondered what effect squeaky rubber hippos had on the digestion. Vimes became slowly aware that the distant cheering had turned to screams. He stared vaguely at Errol, and then smiled an incredibly evil smile, and stood up. There were sounds of panic, and the mob on the run. He placed his battered helmet on his head and gave it a jaunty tap. Then, humming a mad little tune, he sauntered out of the building. Errol remained quite still for a while, and then, with extreme difficulty, half-crawled and half-rolled out of his box. Strange messages were coming from the massive part of his brain that controlled his digestive system. It was demanding certain things that he couldn't put a name to. Fortunately, it was able to describe them in minute detail to the complex receptors in his enormous nostrils. They flared, subjecting the air of the room to an intimate examination. His head turned, triangulating. He pulled himself across the floor and began to eat, with every sign of enjoyment, Carrot's tin of armour polish. People streamed past Vimes as he strolled up the street of small gods. Smoke rose into the air from the Plaza of Broken Moons. The dragon squatted in the middle of it, on what remained of the coronation dais. It had a self-satisfied expression. There was no sign of the throne or of its occupant, although it was possible that complicated forensic examination of the small pile of charcoal in the wrecked and smouldering woodwork might offer some clue. Vimes caught hold of an ornamental fountain to steady himself as the crowd stampeded by. Every street out of the plaza was packed with struggling bodies. Not noisy ones, Vimes noticed. People weren't just wasting their breath with screaming anymore. There was just this solid, deadly determination to be somewhere else. The dragon spread its wings and flapped them luxuriously. The people at the rear of the crowd took this as a signal to climb up the backs of people in front of them and run for safety from head to head. Within a few seconds, the square was empty of all save the stupid and the terminally bewildered. Even the badly trampled were making a spirited crawl for the nearest exit. Vimes looked around him. There seemed to be a lot of fallen flags, some of which were being eaten by an elderly goat which couldn't believe its luck. He could distantly see Cut Me Own Throat on his hands and knees trying to restore the contents of his tray. By Vimes's side, a small child waved a flag hesitantly and shouted, "Hurrah!" And then everything went quiet. Vimes bent down. "I think you should be going home," he said. The child squinted up at him.
"Are you a watchman?" it said.
"No," said Vimes. "And yes."